You know, I was thinking about how the world would have paid attention to that last night, and that is so unique when it comes to Canadian soccer. It's just something that we are not – it feels like we've been outsiders my whole life in terms of the most popular sport around the world, and we're just always looking in to the glass house. Like, how can we get in there? And it feels like clearly punching a ticket, a legitimate ticket, before 2026, where it might get punched because we're hosting or co-hosting in 2026. A legitimate punching of a ticket. And a guy like Davies, to say nothing of Jonathan David, Tayshaun Buchanan, and others who have made a name for themselves internationally and specifically in Europe. But that was a moment last night where it was like, as a Canadian fan, you can be like, the world was paying attention to that.
Oh,
like, the world was focused on BMO and what Davies performed like last night and what Canada did to Panama and what they've done through six matches. And they put themselves in a very, very advantageous position here. Keeping pace with the Americans and Mexico, as opposed to just holding on for dear life or even just trying to hold on to that fourth seed so you move on to the next round and maybe perform well and move on from there. They're showing up with the big boys. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a man who's very familiar with international football, playing with the Irish, and he's a TSN soccer analyst. We had him on a lot during the Euros. He's always great to have on. Here is Kevin Kilbane. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm very good. How's things?
Oh, we're excited, as you can imagine, considering what the Canadian side managed to do last night, what they've done through six matches here trying to qualify for 2022. Is that a safe way of approaching this topic moving forward with a number of games still to go, that it's safe to say Canada should have their eye on Mexico and the States as opposed to just having their eye on every side that is behind them right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of know how it works. I was just listening to the back end of what you were saying there as well, and it's so refreshing, so nice to hear, you know, Canadians talking so well of the team. That's the thing that hasn't been there for such a long time. Obviously, I'm very new to the country here in Canada, and I've probably come at the right time actually from a soccer perspective because of what's been happening over the last couple of years, but I absolutely, totally agree with what you said there, that Canada have to, I mean, realistically, if you look at how they performed at the Azteca during the last window, and if you look at how they performed against the US during the previous window, they are absolutely on a par with those two sides now. I know the world ranking is outside the top 50, the FIFA ranking is outside the top 50, but they are probably, after that result last night, approaching, if not already in the top 50 rankings going forward. And they're, as I said, I know that the US are a top 10 side and the Mexicans are a top 10 side, but Canadians are absolutely on a par with those two sides. So yes, they have to look up rather than look down. And that's easier said than done. And I'm sure that's what John Herdman will be saying going forward. But sometimes you have to look over your shoulder and reflect on what those other sides around you are actually doing. But if you're looking at the actual squad itself and the group of players that John Herdman has there now with the Canadian side, they're absolutely as good as the US and as good as Mexico. So there's no reason why a top two, rather than actually trying to squeeze and look to try and finish third or even hit that playoff spot in a fourth position, try and get a second or a top spot within this qualification group.
So as good as this team is, Kevin, I mean, how good is Alphonso Davies? Because we're all going to remember that goal last night. That's one of the great athletic feats I've ever witnessed live. You know, to see him make that 80-yard dash, to, you know, the speed, and then the obviously the skill to stop on a dime and deposit the ball into the corner as he did. I mean, you know, what does that say about this 20-year-old phenom that is by far already the best player Canada has ever produced on the global stage?
Well, he says everything about him. I saw a tweet from Stephen Caldwell today saying that there's very few players, if any, maybe other than Kylian Mbappe, who every soccer fan would know Kylian Mbappe from what he's done at PSG and with France at such a young age. There's very few players who could have done what Alphonso Davies did last night. It was world class, simply world class. We know the level that he's been playing at Bayern Munich over the last few seasons and the level of consistency in his performance that he's put in. You have to give credit to John Herdman with how he's deployed Alphonso Davies. He's played on the left-hand side in his more natural position at left-back. He's played further forward as a left-forward position, even through the middle and on the right-hand side for Canada, where he scored the goal from the right-hand side last night. So I think we may see him playing in different roles for Bayern Munich going forward, given what we saw last night and what he's produced through this window for Canada, because I think for Canada to play him in his more natural position, playing as a left back, I think it's a waste of the team. I think defensively he's probably the only weakness to his game, actually. Going forward, he's as good as anything in world soccer right now, world football. And I think maybe from just touching on what you said there about the goal last night, that goal will be remembered by every Canadian. Maybe as it could actually be like almost like a turning point as well, that everyone's going to remember that goal where they were as a soccer fan when Alphonso Davies scored that goal. Going forward, if and hopefully when Canada qualify for the 2022 World Cup, and then of course in 2026 when the World Cup comes home here.
We're chatting with Kevin Kilbane, former Irish footballer and TSN soccer analyst. Again, Canada getting past Panama 4-1 last night down at BMO, and they have two wins, four draws, currently in third in terms of pursuit of the 2022 World Cup. Only the Americans and Mexico ahead of them currently. In terms of John Herdman, and he is someone that the Canadian soccer fan is familiar with because of what he did with the women's program, and he's been on the men's side and running their program for a while now. He's a guy who's been on the show many times before. I think tactically he clearly is someone that brings a lot to the table. But in terms of motivation, what have you heard from John Herdman? What do you believe he brings to the table, and how is he factoring into the success?
Well, I actually knew very little of John Herdman prior to him getting the women's national job. So obviously the success that he had with the team that helped drive the team towards Olympic gold this summer has taken that forward within his coaching career, obviously onto the men's side with what he's done there now. I like what he does tactically. If I'm just actually viewing him on the pitch, I like that he doesn't necessarily say that, look, I've got a, like most coaches would say, I've got a philosophy. We're going to play four at the back. We're going to play three in midfield and three up front, however we go. He changes his system to suit opposition at times, or not to suit opposition, to try and beat opposition. He'll look at opposition and he'll try and work out ways to go and beat them by changing systems and personnel within that system as well. I like how he does that, actually. I mean, he's changed from a back three at times to a back four. And as I said, I like that because I think he's got players within this side where he can actually interchange positions. You know, you've got the mainstays, as you mentioned, Alphonso Davies, and I heard you mention Jonathan David and Tejan Buchanan. That front three are probably as good as anything right now in world soccer. Jonathan David actually struggled over the course of this window, but you know that there is a lot more to come from him. Certainly technical ability, I think, will get better and better. But Buchanan's one who... it actually looks a bit of a steal now. Club Brugge taking him from New England, around about $7 million US dollars. It is a bit of a steal when you're seeing the level of performance that he's putting in. And that's down to John Herdman in many respects on what he's getting out of these players. I'm a big fan of Stefan Eustachio, who plays in the midfield, who started to really control a lot of games. And he's getting the best out of a lot of the older players, the more experienced one like Stefan Vittoria and players like this as well, who bring a lot to the table in terms of the wealth of experience and the maybe the guidance of one or two of those younger players. But by and large, that's a very, very young group of players who are playing to an extreme level right now. And as I said before, if you look at some of the sides, again, I'm a lot more familiar with playing in Europe for the whole of my career and playing in England. This team now, a lot of those players can get into a number of Premier League clubs, and obviously taking Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David aside, a lot of the players that not a lot of people will be familiar with in Europe, they could actually go into a lot of the European sides, the top leagues in Europe, and perform to the level that they've been producing with Canada. So there's a lot to be optimistic about. There really is. Whatever's gone on over the last 5-10 year period, I'm just learning about everything that's happening over here in Canada. Whatever's gone on at grassroots level, at the underage levels, it's certainly working now and it's coming into fruition because there's an exciting, I think, probably the next 10 years ahead with this group of players.
So, Kevin, when they entered this big 14-game marathon to try and qualify for the 2022 World Cup, a lot of people talked about how you can get CONCACAF'd. Like, these teams, some of these smaller countries, they'll muck it up. They'll try and get in your head. They'll rely on maybe some questionable reffing on their home pitch. But I think we might have saw a little bit of Canada turning the tables last night with Daniil Henry in the corner when the Panamanians were trying to take a corner kick and the Canadian subs were, you know, holding their space in that corner, which led to the benches clearing a little before halftime. What did you make of that little bit of gamesmanship from Daniil Henry and the rest of the Canadian subs?
I honestly, God, I loved it. I enjoyed every minute of it. It was a bit of a throwback to maybe 15, 20 years ago when I would have been playing a majority of my career, when that sort of thing down the tunnel, little bits of needle that's gone on the pitch, and you know, there's clashes down the tunnel and players having words and they're taking it back onto the pitch and there's little melees that are going on all over the pitch. I actually enjoyed that side of it. I enjoyed the physical side when I played, and this Canadian side that's playing right now, I would have loved to have been a part of that last night watching that happen. And just going back to what you said, you know, teams like Canada have been CONCACAF in days gone by. Speaking to a few of the guys, we have Julian de Guzman that works with us on TSN, and he's told me some of the stories about going to El Salvador and Honduras and many of the sides across Central America and how difficult it is actually to get a result. And if you looked at even Canada's last game against Jamaica, it was a very poor game to watch. If anyone watched that match, I'm sure loads did. And it was, you know, it was a struggle to watch at times, it has to be said. But the most important thing is don't lose those games, don't get beat. And I think that result against Jamaica, and you know, given the lack of performance and the lack of, you know, energy that was actually in that game, shows a lot more about the side than what we saw last night against Panama, where you go and blow a side away 4-1. Yes, it's great to watch, and that's exactly the type of performance and result that's going to bring people back watching more and more soccer here. But that was a real football game that you don't really want to see at times, but when you're involved in it, they're great to get a result and get something, come away from home and get a point and take it back home and get a win like that. They'll look back at that Jamaica game, I feel, and probably if and when they go into maybe even the Mexico game as well, actually was a huge result. But the Jamaica game especially, that it just showed a bit of character and what that team's all about. And if that's going to happen when they go to Central America, when they go back to Panama, because it will happen. It will kick off in that game. Something will happen. Something will spark the game, I'm sure, again, with a carry-on from this game last night. They're ready for it. There's enough character within that side. There's enough brute force and, you know, and strength within that side to take it on board and put the fight up to whoever they come up against. So that's what I liked about seeing the team last night, because I think there's real spirit and character that will take them very far, not just the ability.
Well, and I think this idea of getting CONCACAF, the shoe will be on the other foot in November, because they're playing Costa Rica and Mexico and Edmonton in late November. And I know you're new to the country, Kevin, but I'm sure you're familiar with the weather patterns out in Edmonton.
I am.
Yeah, like that. I mean, I don't know if you can speak from your own experience, probably not growing up in Ireland, but if you're from Costa Rica or Mexico, I don't think you're feeling Edmonton weather very often as you prepare for matches as a kid or as a teenager or into your pros. So I think it could be incredibly beneficial. It's Davey's hometown. Hopefully they're healthy. The Canadian side, those are two big matches against Mexico in particular. I think that's probably what played into it. It's a big stadium. I think they're trying to put in somewhat of a card for the World Cup bid as well. Maybe Edmonton could be an option. We've heard that before. But late November, Edmonton against Mexico and Costa Rica, how beneficial could that be for the Canadian side?
Oh, I think it'll be very beneficial. I mean, on the turf, that's the only thing that worries me. I think with the talent that Canada have playing on turf, it worries me just because of the lack of experience of actually playing on it. But that's the way that it's going to be. But the weather will absolutely be beneficial. You know, I of course I played all across Europe with Ireland and qualifying for the World Cup, and we went to some intimidating places across Europe when we were in qualification, and of course when we were actually out there in Japan and Korea when we were at the World Cup. But I think if you're looking at Canada and you're seeing that, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, below zero, they're not going to enjoy coming up to play. You're looking at the game last night. The only thing I would say is that you would have liked to have seen, you know, certainly with what happened in at BMO last night in Toronto with that crowd that was right behind them, you just have to urge everybody from Edmonton, get out and support the team, make it an intimidating atmosphere, make the sides that have to go up there, Mexico and, as you say, Costa Rica, make them be intimidated. You know, if you're getting right behind the side, make it an atmosphere that those teams don't want to play in, because they don't want to be there. Let's be honest, they're not going to like playing in the weather. Mm-hmm. Make it an intimidating atmosphere. Get out, support the team, make it a great atmosphere that the Canadians can be proud of, and make it a night to remember for Alphonso Davies going back home. Make it a night to remember for all those players playing in front of that Canadian support up there. That's the only thing that you can urge the supporters to go and do, because it should be a special night if they can get points from those two games, because if they do that, you would have to say they'll give themselves a great chance of qualification from there.
Well, it's all looking so good, Kevin. I mean, you got 10 points through six games. You're firmly ensconced in the third spot in a tournament where you got to come top three to get that automatic bid to Qatar next fall. But I guess the question is, like, what can go wrong? What do they need to guard against here in these final eight games? Because right now it looks like everything's coming up roses.
Yeah, complacency. Don't take anything for granted. I'm sure that will be the message from John Herdman. You know, I heard you guys talking before. Mexico 86 actually was the first World Cup I can remember. I was 9 years of age and I was mesmerized by watching Diego Maradona and I fell in love with the game. And then obviously Ireland's success at the Euros in 88, the World Cup in 1994, that, you know, helped my generation of soccer players over there come through and start to develop and have a love for the game. This could be the time now for young Canadians to really get behind the side. And it is the lesser teams, you have to say. I know that I was saying before about, yeah, you have to look up at at Mexico and the States and look at those sides and say, yeah, we're as good as them. But don't take El Salvador, don't take, you know, Costa Rica and mm-hmm. Honduras, don't take these sides for granted. Go and do a professional job on them, get the result. Whatever happens, do not lose the games. Because if you do that like they did against Jamaica, as I said before, it wasn't a great performance, wasn't a great game to watch, but don't lose the game. And give respect to them where respect's due, but believe in yourself that you've got the ability to go and beat them with the caliber of players that you've got. And I'm sure, again, that will be nothing will be taken for granted. Listening to what he's saying, that will absolutely be the case. They can actually go anywhere and beat these teams.
I can't wait for it. I mean, it's a sign of the times where, you know, the Canadian men's national team has really taken over the headlines, and it's going to be a fun ride, and it helps when you win and you're putting yourself in a position to punch a ticket to the World Cup for the first time in a long time. It's always great catching up with you, Kevin. We'll do it again real soon. Thank you for this.
Great stuff. Thank you. Thanks, lads.
You got it. There he is, Kevin Kilbenn, TSN soccer analyst.
Wow.
And high praise, right? Praise for the Canadian side for a guy that's been playing international football and a soccer lifer, man. That means a lot, I think, for Canadian soccer fans to hear that.
What a moment. I mean, you think about what this could mean for soccer in this country, right? It's funny, I was having a conversation last week with Richard Petty, of course, the former CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and he was talking about, you know, as much as he gets derided in this town, still gets booed in Toronto in a lot of ways, Hayes, you know, for what happened competitively with the Leafs and Raptors during his time in that seat. You know, one of his masterstrokes was seeing TFC for what it has become. Because when he told me the story, he went to New York to buy a soccer team back in 2004. And he had breakfast with Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, before he was going to go meet with the commissioner of Major League Soccer. And Bettman laughed at his idea. He said, "You're going to go buy a soccer team? They should give you those for free. That's crazy. Why would you do that, Richard?" And Petty goes and buys this soccer team for the princely sum of $10 million, Hayes. You know, that's only 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. 17 years ago, buys it for $10 million. It was recently valued at $650 million, you know, by Sportico. So, and imagine what TFC will be worth if, you know, Alphonso Davies and the Canadian men's national team becomes a thing, becomes a perennial World Cup contender. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine what that will do for soccer in this country, to Kevin's point about, you know, the kids that will want to play and the boom that will come after. I mean, it's, you know, Petty side coming. I got to give him credit for that. Like, he wasn't much of a Leafs and Raptors CEO, but, man, he saw this coming.
Well, absolutely. I mean, those numbers are staggering, right? That's the kind of stuff you hear with the NFL. Someone bought a team for $30 million, and now they're worth $5 billion or whatever. What I hope can happen over time as well with BMO Field is, I hope when they built it, they didn't shortchange it, because, you know, when it was built, it's a beautiful stadium. It's in a great part of the city.
Oh, yeah.
It's great, you know, sight lines, and the viewing experience is spectacular at BMO. But it's not as big as it could be, and
no,
as big as it's going to have to be when the World Cup gets here in 2026. I think they're going to continue to expand on it. But I hope it gets to that point where there's so many famous stadiums around the world, soccer stadiums like Wembley, like Camp Nou, like Azteca, you know, there's just so many different amazing parks that are the epicenter of a country's national team. And I think BMO Field is there right now, but I hope it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and it becomes the site of the biggest matches,
right?
The biggest games. And when you are qualifying and you're putting together a squad like the one that they currently have, and hopefully they keep growing on it, it just becomes even more a part of the, you know, the fabric of the sport, because that's something I've always envied around the world.
Yeah,
is this you know, every generally it's the capital, right? Mexico City or London or Glasgow or whatever. You know, it's going to be a place where you gravitate to as a fan.
Yeah.
And I can speak from my own experience. I have never I've always loved the sport from afar. I've loved the major tournaments, the World Cup and the Euros. I don't follow it on a daily basis, soccer, just because I don't have the same passion for it historically, and I've just got other stuff on my plate as a big four
same
sports
here.
Guy in the city
same
of
here.
Toronto, exactly, which is natural. But I am captivated by this national team.
Yeah.
I will say that, man. I genuinely circle the dates and look forward to these games. And it's been a wild ride so far, and I hope they can continue this.
I mean, you talk about, like, that was high drama last night. Like,
it was.
You know, for them to go down early, then tie it up, and then have that bench-clearing melee, I think that was a significant moment in the game when they kind of, not that maybe, you know, you make too much of the extracurriculars, but John Herdman made a point after the game that as much as he's not going to endorse, you know, what happened in that corner where the Canadian guys were being a little cheeky and not moving when clearly they probably should have ceded a little space there to the Panama player that wanted to take that corner. You know, Herdman made the point that, you know, they're not going to back down. And I think that's what Canada in the past has maybe been accused of doing, right? When these CONCACAF, these more grizzled veteran CONCACAF teams that have been to World Cups and know how to win big games and know how to sort of maybe overcome the fact that they're not as skilled as younger and faster opponents, you know, you can't back down to them, right? And I thought it was amazing that Canada had the guys to just say, we're not backing down. And and even after the melee, Hayes, you know, Danielle Henry was still standing there in a position that kind of bothered the Panama corner taker. And I thought that was kind of funny, too, that they just, after the whole thing blew over, he still went back to that spot and stood there.
You got to play the game, right?
Yeah.
You got to do the tango, man. Yeah. It's been, as you know, like that getting CONCACAF, that's a part of it, right?
And yeah.
I don't think Canadians will play the game as much because we've all heard the stories where you're down in Honduras or Panama or whatever and the alarm's going off all night.
Yeah.
People are, you know, you're getting kicked out of the hotel.
Different extremes.
It's different extremes. And I don't know or I don't think that's going to happen up here, but I love that they're going to Edmonton in November.
That's a good move.
I think it's a great move. You play Mexico and Costa Rica in Edmonton in late November. It probably will be snowing or close to it. And it might be around freezing. And they're playing.
Yeah, right? I'm with Kevin, though. The one thing that bothers you is, like, if it's a frozen day and that turf gets hard,
that,
like, it won't
be
a soccer
moving.
Game. It'll be like a Super Bowl on that pitch. And it's not going to favor the more skilled team, right? It's not going to favor Alphonso Davies. It's going to favor a team that wants to muck it up, which is going to be those teams that are looking up at Canada in the
Costa
stands.
Rica, not Mexico necessarily, though.
Well, not Mexico. No, Mexico's very skilled. They're obviously the best team in this thing by a lot of measures, including, you know, FIFA
world ranking.
So, and they've been to the World Cup on a regular basis. So, for sure, yeah, Mexico's a different story. But, yeah, that's the one thing you worry about with Edmonton. But I do think, to have, you know, Alphonso Davies play in his hometown for a couple of key matches is not gonna hurt.
No,
the cause.
It should.
Edmonton shows up, right? Like, they show up for events.
They do. And exactly. There'll be 50-50s going off, and they'll be going crazy at Commonwealth.